I like a piano that gets up and goes. Amen. Amen. Anyone got a special song today? If not, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 11 this morning. Appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning, and some of the things that we will touch on today will go along with that. You know, I was thinking this week, most of you know, if you've been watching the news in at all, about what's happened in Nashville. When it first happened, I wondered if someone underneath the disguise and misguidance of believing that they had a God that had instructed them to do something to be able to destroy people's lives and put a bomb. I was wondering if it was some Muslim that wanted to do that, still may be, I'm not sure, or someone disgruntled about something. The unusual thing was that in this one, they put a recording telling everyone they had 15 minutes to clear away before the RV exploded. But you know, there's this time of year, there's a lot of people that claims to worship a God of some kind in all different ways. There are some people that worships Jesus, as we do, and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. We believe that He was God incarnated into flesh, and He came to die upon the cross of Calvary. And we worship God through Jesus Christ. Others, they celebrate Hanukkah. They worship Jehovah, God, still looking for the Messiah to come, not recognizing that Jesus was the one. Then there's others. Someone said we was looking for a place to eat during Christmas. And one time Chris and I, a lot of times we set our Christmases around all the other people in our life. And so sometimes Christmas Day, we're home alone. And we decided to go out and find something to eat. And about the only thing we could find to eat was Chinese. And the reason why we ate Chinese is because they don't celebrate Christmas. They don't recognize Jesus. Many of them has other religions and other religion beliefs. I said all that to say this. All human beings, whether they like to profess it or not, has something inside of them that makes them want to worship. Atheism is a learned belief. It's a learned behavior. You have to go against the instincts of your very making. But however, just because someone is sincere in the worship doesn't make it true. So this morning, I want to preach on this. How can we know that Jesus is the one? The one in whom we should be worshiping. My whole eternity is based upon my belief that Jesus is the one. And this morning, I want us to look. Now, there are times when many of us has questions. Sometimes we don't even like to confess it. Have you ever asked yourself, am I really saved? Have you asked yourself, am I secure? Have you ever asked yourself, if I died, would I go to heaven? You say, preacher, I don't believe we ought to have doubts. Well, it's good that we don't have doubts, but you know, many men of God in the Bible got in different times of their life that they had doubts. This morning in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at the one that Jesus said was one of the greatest men ever born of a woman. Yet he had some doubts. And I want us to look at how Jesus answered his doubts Then I want to show you why I believe Jesus is the one. Not only is he the one, he's the one and only. There is no other. And so therefore, I shed, and I do not celebrate when someone says, I'm believing this, but I'm sincere in it. I don't celebrate that because they're still going to die and go to hell without Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so let's look a little bit, and I'll show you why I believe that, and why I believe that he was the Messiah, why I believe he was Almighty God, Jehovah, why I believe he was the beginning and the end, and he was creator of all things, savior of the world. Now, all these other little gods cannot compare with him. And I'll touch on that in a moment. Let's read our text in chapter 11 of Matthew and keep your Bibles open. And it came to pass, verse 1, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now remember here, and let's stop right here a minute and refresh ourselves, that John was in prison because of preaching. He was preaching against the king, Herod, taking his brother Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias. And so he said it was unlawful. Now, what Brother Junior was talking about this morning, some of these people argue, well, when I get married and I'm unsaved, God doesn't recognize that marriage. Well, God recognized this marriage, and it was one unsaved. And he said it was unlawful for Herod to have his brother's wife. That was not right. And so therefore, again, it's a vow taken before God that God holds you to. Let's look a little bit further. Verse number 3. And so, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, this is a great John the Baptist. This is one that Malachi had foretold of that would be a forerunner of Christ. This is one that would come prepare the way for Jesus. And he had preached with such boldness in his past. When he faced the Pharisees and Sadducees at the Jordan River baptizing, he had such boldness and told them that they were not fit to be baptized, that they were to bring back fruits that was fit for repentance. And so therefore what we find is, and also when he saw Jesus coming, he had no doubt there in John chapter 1, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He had no doubt who Jesus was. And so therefore we find that there was a time at John's life that he didn't question at all who Jesus was. But now he's in prison. Now he wants to send two of his disciples because he's hearing about Jesus, what he's doing. And he's wanting to send two of his disciples and see, are you the one? And the Bible says in verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes. Now notice, this was John's disciples, and Jesus waited till his disciples left before he wanted to say this about John the Baptist. Now he could say it in the presence of the disciples, but he chose not to. Maybe it would have went back and it may have filled John up with pride or something, but notice what he says. Verse number 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out of the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In question mark. In other words, John was not one of these is going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. He was firm. Yet here, he had a little doubt when he was in prison. Let's go on, verse number 8. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. He said, you saw someone who was bold, someone who was rugged. You didn't see someone who'd been pampered all his life. Verse number 9. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, and shall prepare thy way before thee. In other words, Jesus said, this man was prophesied by the scriptures to come. This was a prophet, even more than a prophet. He was a forerunner of the Messiah, of the Christ. Look in verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What greater compliment could a man have than to have that from Jesus? What would it be that caused John to doubt? Well, first of all, he was in prison. And being in prison, he began to ask himself, was he the one? Even though he was bold before, yet now he begins to question some things sitting in prison. Because what one thing was, he had removed himself and been removed from the presence of Jesus, hearing the preaching of Jesus, and seeing with his own eyes the miracles, and he was just hearing about things that he'd done. Now let me say this. There's a lot of people that gets fear and doubts when they're away from the church. Some of these folks that somebody said, well, I'm afraid to come. What's creating the fear? The closer you are in the presence of God, the greater boldness you have. The reason the church was sent the Holy Ghost of God was to give us boldness in our witnessing, boldness in our lives. Boldness to face things that the world is afraid of, but boldness to stand and say, I trust God. But I'm going to tell you what happens. You get away from God for a while and the things of God, and you start having these doubts. You start having these fears. Well, John the Baptist had been away, been locked up. Not only that, but here we find he did the right thing. I'll tell you what to do when you start having doubts and fears. Take it to the Lord. Talk to him. And so the first thing he did was he sent his disciples to Jesus. And look in verse number 3 again. And he asked him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, why had John gotten this situation? Well, number one, he was probably discouraged. Now remember, John come out of the wilderness. Remember how he was dressed? Remember what he was eating? Locusts and wild honey? John was a free soul. He was used to running around the desert in the wilderness. He was not used to being cooped up in a cell. And all of a sudden his life had changed and things happened to him that was beyond his ability to do anything about. Now listen to me a minute. There are times when things will happen in your life that will be out of the scope of you doing anything about it. What are you going to do? Are you going to doubt God? It's easy to do during that time. Look at some of the great men of God. Remember Elijah, how he doubted under the Jupiter tree? Remember Abraham? Remember Thomas? We could go on and on and on and on. And listen, there's times when things will happen out of your control, and if you're not careful, you begin to question God. The second thing is, you've got to remember that he was disappointed because here he was in prison. Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, had all power given to him. He was able to do anything, and just at his word, he could have been freed. He could have sent 12 legions of angels and freed John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we find a quotation from Isaiah chapter 61, talking about the Messiah. How would you know he's the Messiah? Look in your Bibles, if you would, in verse number 17. Or verse number 16, we'll say, this talking about Jesus. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And by the way, this is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Now that's where John was right now. And recovering sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again unto the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. John, believing he was Messiah, believed that Jesus had the power to set him free. Could he have? With no problem. So here John was in prison. Here he was waiting for the Messiah. He realized that he was thinking that the Messiah was going to come and take over and reign. And yet here he was facing the possibility of having his head cut off and put in a charter. And eventually that's what happened to him. Could he have been saved? Absolutely. But sometimes what we do is we get disillusioned, because what happens is this. Can God do anything he wants to in any of our circumstances? Absolutely. Does he always do it the way we think he should do it? Or the way that we see him do it to somebody else? No. Why? Because God has his own reason and rhyme and purpose in everything he does. Now I do want you to notice how Jesus answered John. He didn't say, how dare John question me? He didn't say, John, you need to get your heart right with God if you're going to say something to me. He didn't say none of those things. But what he did was, he come and he said, now you go back and tell John and show him what you've just seen me do. Because what he was doing was the very things that the Messiah was going to do. And so he went back to John, and of course we find in Matthew chapter 14 when John got his head chopped off. But we find that John never again questioned. So whatever he saw, whatever he did, and what Jesus did was he referred him back to the scriptures. Now let me give you a little piece of advice. When you begin to have doubts and fears, the best place to go is back in the Word of God. That's where you find comfort for fears and doubts. Now, look just a few moments, and I said we're going to look and see why Jesus is the one. Well, looking at Jesus, there are several things that sets him different. Number one, his person makes him different than all the other gods. As Brother Eric was teaching this morning on the love of God, he loves us, and he created all things for us to enjoy. He is holy, almighty, but yet he come down to sinners and weak. And God so loved us that he gave himself. And as Brother Eric pointed out so eloquent this morning, the true definition of love, of God's love, is to be able to love someone without anything being given back in return. You love them just because of them. And God loved us that much. And Jesus loved us so much, and greater love hath no man than to come and die for us. That sets him apart from anybody else. Look at Muhammad. Look at Buddha. Look at all the other ones they lift up. Look at all these man-made religions in America. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they all try to build up pride in individual, thinking they'll have their own God to, or their own world to be God of. Not Jesus. He separates all them in his person. He was God that so loved us that he came and gave himself for us. The purpose in which he did. He not only wanted us to worship him, but he wanted to fellowship with us. You know the wonderful thing about Jesus? Jesus has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But you know what? Precious inside the Lord is death of his saints. He loves to see saved ones come home. Not only that, but also in propitiation that Brother Eric mentioned this morning. A lot of these other gods require you to die for them. He died for us. Amen. Separates Jesus from all these other little gods. Also the place to make. Now Islamic, they want to encourage, death on their believers, to kill the infidels, and they want to promise them all these virgins up in paradise to be able to receive. It's things that stirs their flesh. Jesus went to make a place that's without sin, holy, one in which there is no comparison, and it is not based upon our works. It based upon the grace of God and our faith in Jesus Christ. The promises that God has made for us. He's promised us that salvation, full and free, by just believing upon Jesus. He doesn't tell us that we have to work and continue to work. Somebody asked me one time, they said, why does Jehovah's Witnesses have such zeal knocking on our doors all the time? I said, because they teach they have to work their way to heaven. We believe in the works of Jesus to get us there. Puts us differently. He paid the price, the penalty for our sins. And all that, but he also has given us a perfect word without flaw. The word of God. Listen, historically, I said this the other day. Historically, scientifically, medically, prophetically, it has always been correct and has never had one error. Never. Now, why do I believe that Jesus is the one? Look back, if you would, at how Jesus answered John. Verse number 5. The blind does what? Jesus was able to give sight to the blind man. Well, let me tell you this. He's also able to give spiritual sight to those who are lost,
those who are blinded by sin. The world
sees through blinded eyes. They don't see clearly. They can't see afar off. But look, if you would, keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 11. And look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, turn these few places with me. And I want to show you why Jesus is the one for me. Look at you in chapter 4, beginning in verse number 4. Verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world, who's that? Who's the God of this world? Satan. Hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now look in verse 6. This is where I want you to see. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Number one, why I believe Jesus is the one. With all my heart, I was once blind. but now I see. I see so much differently now that Jesus has saved me. He gave me sight that I never had before. I'm able, when I look at things now, I look at it completely different than what I used to look at things. And I was so ignorant to things. I was falling, I was blinded by the God of this world. I was blinded to the gospel and the glorious gospel. I was blinded how much I would love the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much whenever I think about Jesus upon the cross, it would move me. Once I found out the true secret of why he was there. And I want to thank God that Jesus has opened my eyes and he's given this blinded, sin-blinded boy sight that I never had until I got saved. Look back in your Bibles a moment. Notice the blind receive their sight and the lame what?
Walk.
He gave strength to they were able to walk away and leap for joy. The world walks according to the God of this world. He's changed our walk. Look if you would in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice in verse number 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. Eric and them old friends you used to run with, they look differently at you. I've told people this. I say when you're running with a crowd that's destroying your life, addicted to drugs, what you got to do, be the crowd.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever it is that crowd is leading you to do, get away from that crowd. Somebody said, how? When I quit and I changed, some of my friends said among themselves, it'll not last. But God showed me how to change their testimony. How to get it where I could witness to them. And what happened was, over a period of time, they watched. And I had one of them come and tell me, he said, I've been watching you. He said, to be honest with you, I was in the group that said that you would never make it. He said, but there's been a difference. You know why? When I met this one, he changed the way I walked. The things I used to walk in, he changed my direction. Now, those friends, they look at me and they say, what happened to him? A while back at one of the reunions, I seen an old guy I used to run with and do all the wrong things with, and I walked over and I was just going to speak to him. He wouldn't even speak to me because I was now preaching.
I was
against everything that he was for. And so, therefore, you know, somebody said, well, how'd that make you feel? Well, you know, it's just one of those things that where you get persecuted sometimes for doing the right thing. But I'm going to tell you something. When I met him, you know how I know he's real? He made me see things I'd never seen before. He opened my eyes. And he made me walk in a way that I'd never walked before. Look on, if you would. The Bible says the lame walked and the leopards what? The leopards are cleansed. You know, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. And leprosy was one of those incurable things. And by the way, every one of us was full of leprosy. We were sinners. We were incurable. We could not cure ourselves. But look, if you would, keep your finger there again in Matthew chapter 11 and go with me to Isaiah chapter number 38. I've got this trouble. I have within me a threefold since I've been born again. My spirit's been made alive. Now I have a live spirit. I have a soul. And I've got a flesh, a body. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Every day I wake up, I fight my flesh. My flesh is my worst enemy. It gets me the moment my feet touches the floor, and it's the last thing I battle before I go to bed at night. So the flesh is something that we have to battle. Now let me ask you this. By the way, listen to me very carefully. I've said this before, but it's important to point out. The difference between your flesh after you got saved and before you got saved is you still have the rotten flesh. The only problem now is you have a spirit that's been made alive that has the witness of the Holy Spirit, and now your spirit battles your flesh all the time. It created a warfare within you. Now look here. How can we be saved when even after we're saved, by the way, how many of you after you got saved has done something that you have been ashamed before God about? How many of you, since you've been saved, have done several things? How many of you you have to confess, preacher, I don't live, just as Brother Eric was saying, those commandments, when we get looking at those commandments, how they condemn us. You know why? Because we have all sinned and fell short of glory of God. But look if you would in Isaiah 38. Isaiah chapter 38, look at
verse number 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast
in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins where?
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what if you do this? When I met him, he cured me of all leprosy. He took my sins, past, present, future, and put them behind his back where he'll never see them. Jesus said, never to be remembered no more. Forever. As far as the east is from the west. Why he is the one? He made a way in which this sinner can go to heaven. And man, if it wasn't for him taking care of my leprosy, I would have been incurable. And only he had the ability to do that. Amen. Amen. When I walk through this life, I don't look at me. When I walk through this life, I don't boast of me. I boast of one. He's the one I boast of. Somebody said, how do you know you're going to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. He's the one.
Amen.
He's the reason. Not only that, look back in your Bible a moment. Not only did he cleanse the leper, but also the deaf, what? Here, look if you would in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Notice if you would, in verse number 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall what? Hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and what? Live. For as a father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Listen, the world refused the word of God. They don't want to hear God. But thank God, I heard. You know what happened the moment that I heard and I believed? The moment that I was, matter of fact, I was sitting right back where, Brother Eric, where you're sitting, right there. Sinking Creek Baptist Church. And I was sitting back there, and boy, that night, the Spirit of God come to me. I'd already been being convicted, and it convicted me, and it drew me. And it come, and it spoke to my heart, and he bid me to come. And I heard, like for the first time, I heard the Word of God alive, powerful. And the moment that I believed in what the Holy Ghost did to me is it lifted up Jesus before me. It let me see myself as a sinner. It condemned and convicted me. I went down. He lifted Jesus up. I looked up, my only hope, and I saw Jesus, my only way of being saved. And I stepped out believing the Word. And the moment that I believed, I called upon him to save my soul. And I tell you what, I come out of that aisle, and I was saved when I left that pew back there. Amen. I didn't have to wait till I got up here to get saved. I've done saved. You know why? Because a faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, Lord, I want you to save me. And you know what saved me? Believing his word. His word become alive. It's alive, quick, powerful. And you know what? That's why he's the one. Because he gave me life. Eternal life. Now I can see plagues of 2020. I don't want it. Some of you have had it. I thank God you survived it. I don't want it, but if I get it, I just have to deal with it. But I know one that's greater, and I know this. If something happens to me to be absent from the body, you know why? Because he's the one. He gave me life. Now that, look back in your Bibles a moment, Matthew chapter 11, I'm fixing to finish up. Notice if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says there, the dead are raised up. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice if you would, in verse number 1. And you, talking about those of us who was once lost, and you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice verse 2. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, that's those who are lost, among whom also we all, every one of us, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But notice verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love where he loved us, there you go, Brother Eric. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened or made alive together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. He has given me eternal life. You know why? He's life. Last one, look back in your Bible. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Turn, if you would, to James chapter number 2 real quickly. James chapter number 2. Some people said, you know, it's not fair, the rich. The Bible says those rich during the tribulation time are going to have privileges. Did you know that? During the tribulation, when the first four beasts, the first four horses are released in the book of Revelation, the poverty is not going to hurt the rich, the ones with oil and wine, only the poor. They're going to have to pay eight times more for bread than what it's worth. Right now, it's easy for Nancy Pelosi and all this bunch to set and shut all of our businesses down. They're not doing without paychecks. They're not having to pay bills regardless. And I feel sorry for these restaurant owners and so forth. And like in New York, I mean, it's untelling what they're paying rent. But they're not giving them a break on rent. They're paying the rent, but yet they're shutting them down, not giving them business. Imagine this. By the way, rich people like Hillary Clinton, if we'd done what she did, we'd be in jail right now. She's had privilege. And by the way, it's not just Democrats. There's Republicans that's rich that gets the same privileges. But you know, people say, well, the rich has it made. The rich has it made to the point where they don't see the need of needing the one. Jesus said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Look at you what James said in James chapter 2. Notice verse number 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? In other words, what he's going, if you read on down through the book of James, he talks about the rich quite a bit. But we have been privileged. Jesus could have come. He could have sat in the very palaces of the rich. He could have been clothed like the rich. He could have had anything he wanted to. As Jehovah God, he made it all. He was worthy of it all. And yet he come and made himself of no reputation, being born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, had no place to lay his head. And you know why? He came to preach to the poor. You know why the poor hears what he's preaching? Because they are desperate and they want hope. The rich has their heaven. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. He come to preach to the poor and to save us. And I just want to say, this old poor boy that God's blessed many ways. God's given me more than I deserve. But I'm going to tell you something. I never thought I would be the son of a king and be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He has given me benefits beyond my imagination. And friend, those are the reasons. The same reasons he gave John is the same reasons I say he's the one and only. Everything he did to those people, he's done to me. And he's done it spiritually to me. He's opened my eyes. He's caused me to walk, caused me to hear, caused me to live, on and on and on, because he is the one. Let me ask you this morning. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. Have you ever come by Jesus? And maybe this morning you need to come. As we get a song of invitation, Brother Jesse, if you'll come, everybody stand. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to be saved. I just want to say thank God. Thank God that I know in whom I believe. Thank God that I have security in the fact that Jesus is the only one. I don't look to Muhammad. I don't look to Buddha. I don't look to none of these others because I found the one. The one and only. Amen. He's not only my Savior. He is Almighty God. God wrapped up in the flesh. Amen. Emmanuel.